Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Energy Detail Design webinar. And I would like to turn the call over to Jason Gerbervac. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Sylvie. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our webinar today. As Sylvie mentioned, my name is Jason Gerbervac, and I'm with the stakeholder engagement team here at the ISO. So it's great to be back with all of you again today. Some very familiar names that are popping up here on the webcast, so great to see. Our goal today is to provide a brief overview of the Energy Stream's detailed design documents in order to support the review and your feedback on these documents. So just a few remarks for me before I pass things over and we get going into the presentation itself. But I'd start by saying that many of you participating today have been with us for quite some time in terms of the development and progress of MRP. Many of the names I see here this afternoon were part of the engagement journey with us back when we first released the MRP benefits case in March of 2017, which provided the basis and rationale that was required to begin the design and engagement on renewing Ontario's electricity market. That first phase of engagement and design was known as the high-level design and consisted of the single schedule market, the day-ahead market, and the enhanced real-time unit commitment initiatives. Earlier this year, the ISO completed the HLD phase of work by publishing final HLDs on these three initiatives, along with your feedback, stakeholder feedback, and our ISO responses for each of those high-level designs. This particular engagement phase with stakeholders was very important in developing the foundation required to move to the detailed design phase, which we find ourselves in today. Some of you may have already participated in the early stages of the detailed design through what we've called technical sessions, which took place from late September through to the end of November, so very recently. These sessions were scheduled in advance of the ISO publishing draft detailed design documents to ensure that, well, a couple of things, to ensure that the feedback from the HLD phase of work, so what we heard from you, was being addressed, before the detailed design documents were published, or where perhaps the ISO identified a need for stakeholder input prior to releasing, again, these draft detailed design documents, which will together make up the detailed design for the energy stream of MRP. We've felt that those sessions have gone very well, so thank you to all who have been participating. As many of you are also now aware, the ISO has published five detailed design documents plus an overview document that was released the last Thursday of November with the ISO bulletin, and have been subsequently posted to the engagement webpage together with feedback forms and deadlines for feedback for each of the design documents that were released. In an effort to support your review of these documents, we will be providing a number of different opportunities to engage and interact with us on the detailed design, including today's webinar. So I'm happy to have here with me today Sean Conkright, who's the Director of Market Renewal, ultimately responsible for leading the team to develop and implement the detailed design for the energy stream. Sean will walk us through the slides that we've provided and posted on the engagement webpage to help guide today's discussion. So we hope that today can be fairly interactive. We do have some slides we want to walk through and cover, but of course we're interested and in taking your questions. So there will be there will be a couple of opportunities and ways in which we can take your questions. One, of course, as Sylvie maybe mentioned at the front end, the star one function on your phone lines will allow you to queue up a question. Sylvie will then let us know that we have questions and we can take those over the phone line. You are also able to ask questions through the Q&A function on the webcast. I'll be keeping an eye on that as Sean walks us through the slides. So I guess just lastly for me, an encouragement, if you have any questions or comments throughout the webinar, please feel free to utilize either of those two forums, and before the hour is up, we'll do our best to answer them. So with that, I'll pass things over to Sean.
Thanks, Jason, and again, I want to reiterate thank you to everybody who is setting aside time today to participate with us. As Jason mentioned, we started this journey in early 2017, and We know a lot of you have spent a lot of time and commitment to date to get us to that point, so it's very much appreciated. And today we want to talk a little bit about where we are and what's next. So we did provide some slides that I am going to walk through. It's pretty important material and hopefully context setting for the question period that will follow. So we've talked throughout 2019 about working on detailed design, and I think there's always sort of a question about what is that, what's it going to look like and feel like. So we finally have had a chance to publish the first five documents and the overview of detailed design. So those are now out for review. We don't expect that you will have necessarily read them all yet or read them and gone through your questions and comments. We have set aside specific time in the new year to talk specifically about content pieces and go through that. So that the goal of today is not to really address specific content, but really sort of understand what we're producing, what you'll see in the future, how these pieces work together, and next steps on the process. So that's the goal of today's session. So there are going to be 13 detailed design documents and an overview and engagement on those. So I'm going to skip ahead. So the detailed design is meant to provide additional detail and clarity following the release of the high-level design, but it is specifically not the market rules and the different governance pieces required to enact the new market. At a high level, if the HLD talked about what it is we intended to do, the detailed design should go into detail about how we intend to do that, provide a lot more information, and talk about different pieces of the design and how they work together. And it will also provide an indication of the types and quantity of changes that impact governing documents such as market rules. So it speaks to that, but it doesn't actually provide the rule language itself. So specifically, it's looking at an end-to-end functional design. Sometimes we refer to that as bid to bill. So the different processes that market participants use to register their facilities, to provide information to the ISO, to be a participant in our market through day ahead and real-time market participation, to settlement of energy and billing and funds and so on. So it's meant to be a bid-to-bill view as opposed to sort of the approach that we took in high-level design. And again, it's supposed to provide sufficient level of information to the ISO design team and to market participants and stakeholders to support the development of those downstream processes such as rules and manuals. What is not in there is sufficient detail around interpretation or decision making by participants, and it's specifically not meant to be the final specifications or equations. Those will come in the downstream governing document. So it should provide a whole lot more information in terms of both breadth and depth on individual topics and the design as a whole, with further work to happen to then enact that design through other artifacts. And again, because we've been at this for a while, it's just useful to recap that from about May 2017 to the end of last year, the ISO worked on high-level designs and engaged with stakeholders throughout that process, focusing on three functional design elements: moving to a single schedule market, the introduction of a financially binding day-ahead market, and enhancing our real-time unit commitment process. So at the high-level design, we created those functional designs looking at those key changes. We then reviewed feedback on those draft designs. Modifications were made, and final versions of those documents were published in August of 2019, and that allowed the team to sort of move forward with the detailed design. And then, as Jason alluded to, in September, we engaged in what we referred to as technical sessions, where the ISO prepared specific content really for one of two reasons, either topics where stakeholders had expressed an interest during high-level design in having a deeper dive and having a greater discussion, or areas where the ISO really needed input from stakeholders in terms of optionality or other input that stakeholders have to help inform our design activities, and some a combination of both. So we started those sessions in the fall, and we have future sessions planned for the new year that I'll cover later. So that's the engagement we've done to date on content, and then that kind of brings us to where we are. I find this slide incredibly useful in terms of translating sort of the different terminology we use and why we've done it. So again, three high-level designs focusing primarily on those different functions. We're talking now about the detailed design that looks at different sections that cover this bid to build, or all the different steps and processes required in the market. So the detailed design will comprise those 14 design sections, if you will. And then when we shift into the implementation phase, we're still taking that detailed design, but now we're looking to develop those governing documents, rules and manuals, process models, and so on. Also cognizant of generator supply contracts that'll require amendments. And then the things that you typically associate with a new system, such as building hardware and software, implementing solutions, testing those solutions both internally at the ISO and with market participants, ensuring that both the ISO and market participants are ready to participate in that new market and everything we would need to do in advance of go live. So we're still talking about the same content and the same design. It just takes slightly different forms as we move through the different project phases. So in terms of the detailed design itself, Jason mentioned on November 28th, we published six design documents. So the overview should go into greater detail about what the design document is and form the basis for any of the other chapters. But if we look at the documents provided, these are documents that are largely left in place and intact as a result of the changes that we're implementing, but they have some conforming changes to acknowledge those. So earlier stage or upfront processes such as authorization and participation, facility registration and prudential security, and then sort of looking at equivalently on the back end around billing and funds and revenue metering. So these are things that definitely are impacted by the market renewal changes, but I might suggest impacted tangentially or those processes have to conform. If we look at the second grouping that's targeted for March of next year, here we're talking about areas of the process that will be substantially impacted and changed by the processes we're contemplating. So these will be more significant changes and impacts. Looking at bids and data input, the new market power mitigation framework to support a single scheduled market, how the grid and market operations work, settling on the new settlement codes, different types of information and reporting that needs to be published, as well as the actual calculation engines that perform the optimization in day ahead, real time or pre-dispatch time frame. So that's the second tranche that is certainly meaty and will be very detailed, and both the ISO and the market participants will want to ensure that we've reviewed and understood those different aspects. So that's currently targeted for March of 2020. One of the things we have done in terms of the documents is we've tried to adopt a common structure or framework for each of those 14 documents. So certainly for the five published and the others remaining, you'll see that these six sections are consistent. And after you've read one of the documents, you should find familiarity in terms of how it's set up, the order you might want to read them in, areas of particular interest. So section one really tries to set up, relationships with reference material scope, what we're trying to do with this particular document, who's most interested in the level of detail. Then when we move to section two, this is purposely meant to be a high-level view. So talking about what processes exist today, and what are the key aspects that are changing and why they're changing. So it's not meant to go into all the details, but provide a very good high-level view of what the changes are related to this topic. We then get into a whole lot more detail in section 3, where we really get into detail around what's changing and why, what's remaining the same, which is very important, and things that aren't changing at all. So while certain things are changing, it's really important to note that a lot of things are not. So we've tried to proactively state that. Failing to do so would leave a question as to what's happening in those areas. Here we also reference interdependencies with other design documents, and we do recognize that all the design documents aren't available yet. So it's a little bit of a catch-22. We've tried to reference, you know, in a certain area you'll find more detail in a different chapter or a different document, and you'll have to note that for some of those we're referencing areas that won't be released until March. I alluded earlier, Section 4 talks about requirements for market rule changes without speaking to the changes themselves. So looking at the rules by section and chapter, certain areas are not changed at all. Other areas may have minimal conforming changes, things such as language alignment. And then there's certain market rule areas that will need to be completely rewritten. There may be sections of the rules that will no longer be applicable and could be deleted, and other areas where there is currently no market rule and a completely new rule will need to be drafted to pick up the content of the design. So again, it's not the rules themselves, but should give you a good indication of the quantity of rule changes, the areas where those rule changes will apply, and sort of give guidance in terms of where that effort's going to be on developing the rules. Moving on to Section 5, we talk about procedural requirements. So this looks like changes to market manuals, market-facing procedures, and so on, which we understand and acknowledge has a interrelated dependency with market rules. So we've tried to flag here again which areas we anticipate changes, the extent of those changes, and which would not face changes at all. Section 6 looks at the business process and information flow. So here again, we're trying to provide it at the right level. What's the current business processes, how information flows between market participants, the ISO, and internally within different ISO processes. We include activity maps and diagrams to help assist that. And then we also try to show the changes to the processes as a result. In terms of reviewing the document, you should find that Section 3 and Section 6 are complementary. So in Section 3, you should be able to read a narrative description of the changes, and then upon reviewing Section 6, see how those changes show up in terms of process and information flows. One of the checks that the ISO did when we're producing these is to review Section 3 and 6 together and try to ensure that, you know, where we've described a change, we've picked it up in the process flow and vice versa. Depending on your view, you may choose to read 3 or 6 first, but you should find that the two of them are complementary and providing the same information but in a different lens. So that is the structure of the detailed design documents. You'll find that all except the overview adopt that methodology, so that once you've read one or two again, you should have some ease and comfort in terms of where you need to look to find the information you'd like. Three other areas that are included as appendices. So Appendix A speaks to specific market participant interfaces and describes the changes that would need to happen with those. So that would be of key interest to market participants. We've also noted Appendix B and C, which are internal facing procedural requirements and business processes that impact internal documents and processes to the ISO. So Appendix B and C are not included with the materials posted publicly, but we did feel it was very important to let stakeholders know that there is only one detailed design document. What you see is the detailed design document with a note that Appendix B and C are internal ISO information. So there aren't two design documents floating around. There's one. It's public. It's posted. We will be taking comments and feedback and looking to make changes as necessary in subsequent versions, but acknowledge that there is information that's confidential to the ISO, and it's all contained in B and C. So that sets out the documents that you have available to you and how they work. We want to sort of talk about next steps. So we had some technical information sessions in the fall. We've currently got 4 additional sessions scheduled in January and February. And I want to note here that these weren't all necessarily planned when we started in September. Some of this is as a direct result of engaging with market participants and stakeholders and determining that additional sessions were necessary. So we have physical withholding, which is a result of one of those sessions. That's on January 23rd. We had an initial session on hydroelectric dispatch data. That was not sufficient to address all of the issues, so we've set aside a whole day on the 6th to specifically focus on that in more detail. On February 13th, we'll look at negative pricing and the impacts of that, and on the 27th of February, pseudo units. So those are the 4 that have been identified either by the ISO or by stakeholders. And again, if additional topics or content comes up as a result of those sessions, then we'll make a determination if we need further detail. And again, these are to proactively provide input and feedback in advance of producing the subsequent documents. So those will look to inform the second batch of materials. For the materials that we published on November 28th, we have specific dates set aside to take your feedback and discuss the specific technical content of those documents. So on the 28th of January, we'll look at the 3 chapters specified: authorization and participation, facility registration and meter registration, and then on February 3rd, we'll be doing the same exercise for prudential security, market billing, and funds administration. So that's where we intend to get into the detail and talk about any specific content that was in the document. And we hopefully believe that with the holidays coming up and publishing on the 28th, that those dates give you enough time to review the documents internally within your organizations, but also have it timely and relevant enough to catch the feedback. So we hope we've struck the right balance there in terms of timing. And I think the slide more or less summarizes what I've just said. Jason talked about forms provided to assist the feedback collection processes. You know, in terms of feedback deadlines, you know, the ISO always welcomes feedback at any time. But in terms of being able to move our processes forward and ensure that we have sufficient time to review the feedback that is provided and then do anything with it, we really ask that you try to adhere to those timelines. We always welcome feedback in advance, but it's a balance between giving you time to provide it and then giving the ISO sufficient time to review it, synthesize it, and do something with it. So those deadlines are there. And then just looking ahead, again, we've got those 8 meaty sections that are looking to come out in 2020, and we will go through a similar process where we will offer specific sessions either on one or a grouping of design documents to take feedback. And I want to stop here and note that all of the material that we're publishing, we refer to it as version 1. So ultimately, you'll have 14 documents that are produced for stakeholder feedback at version 1. They're done separately for several reasons. One, it's content specific, but the other one is there may very well be certain documents where we receive minimal feedback or focused feedback, and the ISO is able to incorporate that and sort of call that document, you know, relatively close to being final. At which point we can update it and sort of set it aside, while there may be other chapters and documents that require, you know, more extensive feedback and more iteration. So I fully expect that as we look to move these things towards being finalized, different documents may have different versions. We may find that version 2 is sufficient for some of them. Others may require multiple versions. But it should focus both the ISO's energy and stakeholders' energy on the issues and concerns that are of greatest interest. And some of the other items we're fine with, and we can, you know, set aside those till we go to implementation. So that's the expectation. That's partly why it's not produced in one large document. Also, by being able to produce some of them now, you're not forced to read all of the content at once. You can look at the first 6 sections. And we do recognize that You know, before anybody's going to be comfortable with the design as a whole, you're going to want to see all of it. But it allows you to kind of break it up, review and provide comments. It allows the ISO to take that back in pieces, and hopefully that gets us to a quicker overall turnaround for all the material. So that concludes the formal comments that I had. We've tried to set aside 25 minutes or so here for questions. So with that, I'm going to turn it back to Jason, and we hope that that has been helpful, and welcome any questions that you have.
Great. Thank you, Sean. I guess I'll start, Sylvie, if I can check with you to see if anyone has queued up a question over the phone lines, please.
I will remind everyone that if they have a question, it is star one, and at this time, we have none.
Okay, we'll just have a quick peek here if anything's come through the WebEx, if you can just give us a moment. Okay, we don't have any questions that have come through the webcast. We received a comment from Alvin. Alvin, I just thank you for that. It's exactly the type of information that we're hoping stakeholders can bring to the engagement sessions that Sean has walked us through. So for the first three, authorization and participation, facility registration, and revenue meter registration, we're having an engagement session that will cover those three design documents on January 28th. And then on February the 3rd, we'll be having an opportunity for stakeholders to discuss content and specifics that are in the design documents for prudential security and market billing and funds administration. So just wanted to remind folks of those two dates and the opportunity to ask technical questions with respect to things they've read in the design document at that time. Sylvie, if I can just check if there are any final questions on the phone line.
We have no questions at this time.
Okay, great. Well, with that, I mean, today was intended to provide a fairly high-level overview of how these design documents themselves were sort of put together and structured. So not surprised we're not experiencing a lot of questions. The engagement team here that's in constant contact with the project team, of course, we're available at any time for questions or comments. So I know many of you know how to reach us, but engagement@ISO.ca. If you have thoughts after today's webinar that may be dawn on you afterwards, please feel free to reach out and let us know. We'd be happy to answer those in advance of the upcoming sessions. So with that, in terms of wrap up and next steps here, I was going to provide a review of the various dates and different sessions. Sean did a great job doing that. It is on slides 10 and 11 of your materials. But what I think I want to point stakeholders to is the engagement webpage, where all of these dates and specifics with respect to the agendas will be posted. So if there are any changes, the engagement webpage is the best place to visit. It's the most accurate in terms of when we're meeting with stakeholders in what capacity. So next up, we have the technical sessions, and then we have engagement opportunities on the first five detailed design documents that we released in November and that we've talked about today. So just taking another quick peek here at the WebEx, we don't have any questions. So with that, I would like to thank everyone for participating today, for your time and interest in helping renew Ontario's electricity market. And with that, Sylvie, I'd like to close the webinar for today.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this does indeed conclude your webinar for today. Once again, we'd like to thank you for attending. And at this time, we do ask that you please disconnect your phone lines. Enjoy the rest of your day.